The clothing rotted to tatters. So it was true, this old tale. Fearless as before, he went in search of the sleeping beauty, who must be at the core of it. In the topmost bedchamber of the house, he found her. He stepped over sleeping chambermaids and valets. Breathing the dust and damp of the place, he stood in the door of her sanctuary. Her flaxen hair lay long and straight over the deep green velvet of her bed, and her dress in loose folds revealed the rounded breasts and limbs of a young woman. He opened the shuttered windows. The sunlight flooded down on her. Approaching her, he gave a soft gasp as he touched her cheek and her teeth through her parted lips, and then her tender, rounded eyelids. Her face was perfect to him, and her embroidered gown had fallen deep into the crease between her legs, so that he could see the shape of her sex beneath it. He drew out his sword, with which he had cut back all the vines outside, and gently slipping the blade between her breasts, let it rip easily through the old fabric. Her dress was laid open to the hem, and he folded it back and looked at her. Her nipples were a rosy pink, as were her lips, and the hair between her legs was darkly yellow and curlier than the long, straight hair of her head, which covered her arms down to her hips. He cut the sleeves away, lifting her ever so gently to free the cloth, and the weight of her hair seemed to pull her head down over his arms. He put his sword to one side. He removed his heavy armor. Then he lifted her again, his left arm under her shoulders, his right hand between her legs, his thumb on top of her pubis. Her head fell towards him, and he felt the hot moisture against his right hand, and laying her down again, he cupped both of her breasts and sucked gently on one and then the other. They were plump and firm, these breasts. She'd been 15 when the curse struck her. His desire had been hard and painful to him when he had come into the room, and now it was urging him mercilessly. He mounted her, parting her legs, giving the white inner flesh of her thighs a soft, deep pinch, and clasping her right breast in his left hand, he thrust his sex into her. He held her up as he did this, to gather her mouth to him, and as he broke through her innocence, he opened her mouth with his tongue and pinched her breast sharply. He sucked on her lips, and feeling his seed explode within her, heard her cry out. Then her blue eyes opened. "Beauty," he whispered to her. She closed her eyes, her golden eyebrows brought together in a little frown, and the sun gleaming on her broad white forehead. He lifted her chin, kissed her throat, and drawing his organ out of her tight sex, heard her moan beneath him. She was stunned. He lifted her until she sat naked, one knee crooked on the ruin of her velvet gown on the bed, which was as flat and hard as a table. "I've awakened you, my dear," he said to her. "For 100 years you've slept, and so have all those who loved you. Listen, listen. You'll hear this castle come alive as no one before you has ever heard it." Already a shriek had come from the passage outside. The serving girl was standing there with her hands to her lips. The prince went to the door to speak to her. "Go to your master, the king. Tell him the prince has come who was foretold to remove the curse on this household. Tell him I shall be closeted now with his daughter." He shut the door, bolting it, and turned to look at Beauty. Beauty was covering her breasts with her hands. Her long, straight, golden hair, heavy and silky, flared down to the bed around her. But she looked at the prince, and her eyes struck him as devoid of fear or cunning. Her bosom heaved with anxious breath. Now he laughed, drawing near, and lifted her hair back from her right shoulder. She looked up at him steadily, her cheeks suffused with a raw blush, and again he kissed her. He opened her mouth with his lips, and taking her hands in his left hand, he laid them down on her naked lap so that he might lift her breasts now and better examine them. "Innocent beauty," he whispered. He was only 3 years older than she had been. 18, newly a man, but afraid of nothing and no one. He was tall, black-haired. He had a lean, agile build. He liked to think of himself as a sword, light, straight, and deft, and utterly dangerous. He had left behind him many who would concur with this. There were knocks at the door.